Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, God. We thank you for 2017, Father God. Father God, let us leave 2017 giving you all the glory for what has taken place in our lives, God, and enter into 2018 with hope, your peace, your love, and joy, that we are mindful, Father God, of the people around us that still need to know you, Father God, and hear of your good salvation, God. We just love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can open our scriptures to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And this is what the scripture says. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age. So this morning, being a missionary, this is a passion of my heart and my husband's heart. And so I come to commission you, challenging you that 2018 will be your year of sharing your faith. And so I have been studying the scripture this past year, what it really means to count the cost. And some of us, that is going, like my husband and I, and some of that is a challenge to your heart of, have I ever shared with my neighbor, my family member, my employer, coworker, volunteered in a soup kitchen, outreach, but even a missions trip to even go a little bit further. And there is no, God is no like respecter of person. He looks at the youngest to the oldest, so there's no age qualification for this. You're all called and equipped to share the gospel of Jesus. And so I always ask this question, what was the main purpose of a church? What's the main purpose of the church? And some would argue to say it's fellowship, and I believe that's a huge part of it because in Scripture it says, in John 13:35, it says, now there is no partial truth is right. Jesus said the unbelievers will know we are Christians by our love. And then it also says in Hosea, let us not neglect meeting together for the encouragement of one another. And so the church is to come together to edify, to equip, and to build one another up. And then in Ephesians 4:12, it talks about it's for the preaching and teaching to the saints. So we come together to get our assignment, to hear the gospel, to challenge us to come up out of the babe Christian and walk in the mature Christian lifestyle. And so when I look at this, I say, yep, fellowship's important. I think the preaching and teaching is very important, but I think the main assignment that we're called to do as a church is to go and make disciples. That was Matthew 28. I mean, it was the only thing that Jesus came back to say, and it was the final assignment he came to do. Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life up for you and I. Not just for us to keep it and sit comfortably in our seats and a gift that we just received for ourselves and stay in our comforts of our homes and our lives, but it was for us to receive this gift of grace and salvation and go and repeat it to somebody else and multiply it and make disciples out of it. Jesus, when he died, he rose again and he came back and he spent 40 days wandering the earth, showing himself to the people that he was alive, that he wasn't dead. And the last time he met with the 11 disciples, he said to them, go, I have an assignment for you. It was important. They sat under the preaching and teaching of Jesus. They sat in the fellowship with one another. But then now he's saying, I command you. It's an urgency. It's an emergency. Go to this hurting world. And so they left and they did. And that's how we have the book of Acts. They acted on what they known to be true. I want to share a little bit of testimony about who I am. So you heard from my awesome husband about who we are. But how did we get here? How did we know that this was our purpose, our call, our mission, our life's passion? When I was a little girl, my parents were missionaries to the very reservation that I work on today. You know, and as a child, I am not caught up in mission work. I'm not caught up in even doing the Father's business. Did I live a righteous life? Yes, because I had a relationship with the Heavenly Father. But I was not caught up in the unto the least of these. Didn't really care about the homeless and all that when I was young. But you know, 23 years later, now returning to the reservation, it started 5 years ago when my husband and I went on our first international missions trip. We went out of the country, he went to Honduras, I went to Haiti, and I came back with a burning sensation in my heart that there was more to this Christian walk than our comfortable lifestyles, our corporate America, you know, doing our thing. And at that time, I was an inner city youth pastor, so I felt like I was doing a lot for the kingdom. But there's something in me that could not ignore, my heart could not ignore what my eyes have seen. And it burned in me, especially coming back from Haiti. It was one of those things like seeing kids begging for water and then coming back and I'm in line at the grocery store and going to a birthday party and right in the line is water balloons. And it's like, oh my gosh, the injustice of this world that we have water to wash our cars and play in and drink freely every day to flush our toilets with. And you've got people around this world that are dying of thirst. And so it was like, God, there was something in my heart that started to burn and have compassion for something more. And my husband came back and he felt the same way. And we began to pray like, God, okay, we count the cost. We surrender what we know. Use us. What do you want us to do? And everybody, every one of you have a different assignment. It's not going to look like my husband and I. It might not look, it might be orphans. It might be you're helping at the local pantry, local community. It might be in your business workplace where you're loving on your employers and sharing the message of Jesus. It might not be going. It might be that you are financing a ministry that is, like you guys are doing for Jason and I. But I want you to hear some staggering statistics that I pray that today will be an eye-opener for you. When I was looking and I was looked at LifeWay, which is a Christian website that gives stats and statistics. Let me turn that page. I'm sorry. I was thinking, how far have we come as a church in 2,000 years, and how much more work there still needs to be done? It said, of the world's people, 16,000 people groups, approximately 7 are still unreached. 7,000, I mean, are still unreached. 86% of Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist personally do not know a Christian. 86%. And I am a testimony to this. I was just in Sri Lanka. I did a backpack trek in May, and I hiked into villages to preach the gospel, and they've never seen a Christian, never even heard of Jesus. And the craziest thing about the Hindu nations is that you can't just preach salvation. You have to be creative. You have to show the power of God because they'll just add Jesus to their thousands of gods. So what makes Jesus different? He's living. And the only way that people might see, the only Jesus they might see is in you and in me. And so when I read that, it was like 86% have never even met a Christian. 1/3 of the world has never even heard the gospel. There are 140 million orphans today, 150 million street children, and 1 billion people living in slums. It's staggering. Those are high results. And we only know what we see, right? And so you get comfortable in what you know, and you become depraved to those because you don't see it every day. So you're not praying for it. You're not thinking about it. But we have a blessed nation. We have a blessed people. You know, think about our Christmases, how blessed we were opening up presents and being with family, and you've got people digging in garbages and living in, from place to place, not knowing where they're going to eat next. In this last hour of our worship, of being here right now, 72 women and children were sold into sex slavery. 237 people died from AIDS. 869 people died from chronic hunger. And 1,250 people died from preventable diseases. Just in this hour, we have a crisis. We're in emergency. But you know what's awesome? We could do something. He's called us to do something. And the first thing I felt in my heart God was saying was to be. To be. He said, make your relationship with God your number one priority. Start there. God, out of the overflow of my life with you, in my walk with you, in my relationship with you, my daily reading with you, challenge me to be an overflow of what I'm learning every day. 2, you could pray. Pray for your purpose. Pray for boldness, opportunities to share the gospel, for the missionaries in the field. I found this quote, and it said, "The history of missions is a history of answered prayer." One of our overseers of our ministry from our sending church said this to us one time. He said, "The cry of the harvest determines the will of the Father." We went to this reservation because there are a people group crying out for the Lord, for somebody to come. And we even had people tell us, we've been praying for missionaries to come, people to come and share this good news. And where we live does look third world. I mean, some of you have been to a reservation, you've seen it firsthand. But we have families in our church that don't even have running water and heat. We have families in our church that have been in a homeless shelter for 6 months with their four children. We have families in our church that have experienced trauma from sexual violence, alcoholism, and abuse, and they're hurting. It's like no other. Like, you have a church service, and you come, and it's the choir. We're preaching to each other. This is a message for me, a message for you. You go to them, and they don't know how to even experience God because they couldn't see his goodness in the midst of their pain. And so you have to share his love and love on them, and they're hurting. They're hurting. Most of our kids in our church have lice. They're infested with lice, but we still love and hug on the children because they need that pure touch of love. See, number three, multiply. Disciples make disciples. So it's like, you know what Jesus did? He said, "Now you," he taught them his way for 3 years, told them what to do, sent them out to repeat everything they just learned from Jesus over the years of walking with him, the 3 years. But you know what he did? He told them the first challenge was, "Will you follow me? Will you forsake everything and follow me?" And it's different for each one. For my husband and I, when we had to make that commitment, we said, "God, we are fully surrendered to your plan and your will." It wasn't just easy. My husband, like he said, left 17 years in a corporate job, looked to retire there. We were comfortable in the finances and everything else and saying, "Okay, we're giving it all to go to a people by faith that you are going to prepare a way and provide for us while we're out there." And it has been the joy of our life to be in the perfect will of the Father. I can't explain it. Money has no price to us compared to what's happening right here on this reservation. We've seen whole households come to salvation. We've seen families that were so broken from alcoholism and abuse letting us restore their marriage to remarry them this summer. We've seen families that have not ever entertained having a Heavenly Father like God, told us they've never served God, come to know God and have an intimate relationship and are turning around and walking away from the bondages in their life. That, to me, has no price tag. That, to me, I don't even care about retirement. If I can just see souls for the Lord and see people's lives changed, that's all that matters to me. You know why? Because the things that are temporary right here, the clothes that you wear on your back, the cars that you drive, the attitudes that you might have at work and people are frustrating you, they don't go to heaven with you. Only people do. So invest into lives. Invest into souls. Those are the only thing that can go to you with you in heaven. Start now. And so the last thing is, number four. So we said multiply, then it's number four is go. Just go. Two-thirds of God's name is go. And the whole reason why people don't go, fear, comfort, inadequacy, they feel inadequate, but God equips those he calls. And you might not be the family that, like I said, is called to mission, so there is no condemnation for you. There is no condemnation. But we're all called to the assignment of sharing the gospel. And this is the sadness of the church. When I was looking up the statistics, not just to see a hurting, dying world, I wanted to look up the statistics of where the church was at today. And this is the statistics I found for the church. 95% of Christians have never won a soul to the Lord. Look around you. That's most of you in this room. 80% do not share their faith. And 71% do not give toward the financing of missions at all. But here's the thing. 99% of you believe it's our responsibility as a church to share our faith. 99% believe that that is what we're called to do, but only 5% are doing it. Ouch. Ouch. I don't teach this message tonight, today, this morning. I'm sorry, we have our church in the evening, so I'm so used to saying night. I don't teach this message this morning to condemn you, because that's what Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save a world. But I teach this message this morning to challenge you. Let 2018 be about the least of these. In Matthew 25, it talks about Heavenly Father was saying to his disciples, why didn't you feed me when I was hungry? Visit me when I was in jail, when I was lonely, clothe me. And the disciples like, when do we see you in jail? When do we see you hungry? When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that was his message. So I challenge you that this year, that you would seek the Lord and ask him to stretch you like you've never been stretched before, to give you a person in mind that you're going to pray for their salvation. It might be that irritating boss. We've had those in our lives that you're just like, oh, they drive me nuts. But they're in your life because you know they need Jesus. And you have the answer. People are dying going to hell every day. And we have the answer. And it's Jesus. And so if he died and counted his life for the sake of God on the cross for each one of us and for all humanity, then we should be willing to die to some things in our lives and our hearts that takes us away from that great assignment. All right. Thank you.